And you might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And as we have been looking, it's going to give us the window to see from the crucifixion all the way into the tribulation. And the kingdom, all the way. So, and it's there to help us understand how humans handle. Here we are in the time of grace. How are people handling God's saving grace? God's looking for whosoever's to believe. That's what he's looking for. All the whosoever's he's looking for. A whosoever that would believe. And in the light of that, not many compared to them, comparatively, ever looked to God. So Matthew 13 is to give us a clue as to why the conditions that we live in and that are coming, why they are like they are. So, Matthew chapter 13, and we share together in looking at it to remind ourselves that the disciples, the apostles, had 3 1/3 years to be with our Lord. And after 3 1/3 years, you would think they would be pretty sharp, but they weren't. Oh, there's no question. They had come to know him in a wonderful way, but they did not understand. And therefore, and we read all those things last time to see it, they just didn't understand. And there was a problem because they're trying to understand spiritual things without being spiritual. They're trying to get, using the old illustration, they're trying to hear FM on AM, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. They needed to know the Lord as a Savior, and it required, as the Lord said, the Spirit of God, I have to go to the cross. If I don't go to the cross, you guys are never going to get anywhere. So therefore, I have to go and make possible the relationship you need to have. You can't have the relationship to God Almighty. You can't have the relationship until I pay the price on Calvary's cross. You just can't have it. It's only valid because I die and rise again. Otherwise, it's no good. It's no good. So, and hold your finger here and go back over to the Gospel of John just for a sec. And in the Gospel of John, you remember, in chapter 16, our Lord clues them in. The Spirit of God has to come. He's going to go. And chapter 14 for a minute. And in chapter 14, look with me, please, in verse 16. I will pray the Father, our Lord said, and he shall give you another of the same kind, Spirit of God, Comforter. Reason, he's going to do it, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's with you, but he can't give you any help that you need till I die on the cross. You can't have it. I've got to pay the price. So therefore, hanging in verse 17, and you slide over, I'm going to He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, but not yet. Chapter 14 and in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to give them all the equipment and all the understanding. Not only is the Spirit of God going to go and give them, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Spirit of God has come upon you. Not only is it going to be for you guys, apostles, but it's going to be for everybody. Christ makes possible so you don't have to spend 3 1/3 years, which is unique for them. No, all they have to do is have an ear to hear to understand. You don't understand at the moment, and they didn't, but you will. And chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when the Spirit of God comes, he will reprove, convict, convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then number sin, singular, because they don't believe, not because they're sinners. They need to believe. Christ died on the cross to pay for all sin. Therefore, that's paid for. But you need to perceive it. You need to receive him as your Savior to enjoy that pardon. So therefore, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, I am able to go and present myself in my perfect humanity, resurrected, and I am going to become, I took your body, I became, think of 2 Corinthians 5:21, don't turn there. He became sin for us. He became sin. He took my sin. Why? So that I could have his righteousness. He took my sin so that I could have his righteousness. That's what I needed. Chapter 16, verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, as we're looking in Matthew chapter 13, back over there, in Matthew 13, and we're looking and the issue is understanding. Pick it up in verse 19. And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. The word understand, the verb, to bring the pieces together. Think of a puzzle. To bring the pieces together to have the picture. Think of a sentence. And the sentence has 10 words to it. And to take the 10 words together in a sentence to understand. They're all scattered. You put the 10 words together to understand. Understand. That's the word, to understand. They didn't have understanding. They didn't. They had ears to hear, but no understanding. And you have it as you're reading down, and skipping over where it came from, because the world, which God gives in, as a summary, chapter 13, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15, the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and I should and should be converted, saved, and I should heal them. So, problem is understanding. You need to have understanding. Now, keeping that in mind, if I can, and if you would, so you need to have a wonderful, unique relationship to God, and God gives the power. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is when we hear the Word of God with our ear and we respond to that. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring all of the person, all the benefits of the person and work of Christ to our heart. That's what he's going to do. So as we go, the Spirit of God, you have to have power, power, power. And you have to have, and that's what God's going to say over and over and over again, you need to have power. And to see that a little bit, over to 2 Corinthians again. And in 2 Corinthians, reminding yourself, you're going to have the Spirit of God's ministry is essential to understand. So everyone can hear and understand, but they don't understand after they heard, and they should understand, I should say. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, and you know all the context for the umpteenth time, in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the reason people don't see the gospel, the good news, is because they don't believe. And when they don't believe, the devil can get you. We shared all that. So when you don't believe, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want you to hear. So when we read the parable of the sower, and the seed falls on the wayside in that, you'll understand the Spirit of God is going to go and help us understand why don't people get saved? Why don't people understand? So, and because they don't believe. And when they don't believe, the devil can make you an unbeliever. And when the mind blinded the minds of them which believe not. So they should have believed, as we shared in Romans in chapter 8. And think of the context as you're looking at it. Chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, who believe, lest the gospel of Christ, which who is preached unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It isn't going to tell us. Our preaching, our communication isn't about us. It isn't about us. We can't do a thing. So all we can do is just do whatever, but we can't do anything. It's just about us. No, our preaching. That's why Paul will say, you're right here, turn your page over to chapter 2. No, you can't do that. You have to turn more than one page. And that's what Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I can tell you a whole lot about things. That won't save you. That won't convict you. I have to point to Christ. Christ died on the cross so the Spirit of God could do his work and convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment and see that we get saved. So, therefore, when I don't believe, then it's easy to keep me in the dark. I choose to turn away from the light, and so I only see the dark. Now, and thus you come, as you read that, verse 6, just think of the context as it rolls along. Verse 6, for who God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so when we receive the Lord as our Savior, we receive the light of the world, even our Lord. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And in verse 6, he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, and how, and now that's, how are we going to, having done that, what do we need? Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels of dust. So it isn't going to be because we're super duper something and you give us information and we're running around and have taken it and developed it and we know it and we can do it. No, we can't. No, the vessels of dust, Peter, James, and John, Paul, they're vessels of dust. So that what? The power, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, that which is beyond, think of reaching out into the stars and reaching out there now, and here's the trillions of stars, and you're reaching out, and you're reaching into the stars, and your hand can't, it's way beyond, hey, you got the stars? It's way beyond, that's the verb, to beyond, the, I'll read it, verse 7, that the excellency far beyond, out of your reach, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Has to be God's power. It's out of reach, and we shared that the other day as we were together, to remind ourselves that here we are and we walk by faith, looking to God as we get down the corridor of time. And as we do, all the time, the believer is housing God's wonderful presence, his omnipotence. And in the process, we go and we try to do what we do as best we can. I'm using an illustration. Samson, you do what you do best you can. But when God wants to, he'll go and give you, he'll bring you the power. We have the power. And we do ordinary things. And when God wants to, he could exercise that power. But the power is always there until he wants to use it. And therefore, it isn't a question we don't have it. No, when we have the Spirit of God, we have the power, awesome power. And when God wants to use Samson, he can take a Samson and do what he does. And I remember Samson's wonderful life in the process. And Samson had took the gate of the city. And I forgot how many miles he carried it, uphill, an iron gate, a big iron gate. He just put it and walked up the hill. So far, I forgot how many, far away it was. That's what he did. What an area, you couldn't even touch it. But when God wants the power to be exercised, he does it. That's what we need to understand. We have a relationship, and God is going to exercise the outworking of that. We work in God's presence in fear and trembling, and it is God which worketh and doeth all that he's going to do according. But it isn't, we don't have the power. We do have the power. The power resides. We just have to exercise the relationship to enjoy God. Enjoying God, you'll enjoy the power of God as he wants to use it, as he needs to use it, in doing whatever he wants to do. That's what you want to do. So, keeping that little bit in mind, in God's wonderful grace, and in the movement of what he does, so God, you're going to do what you're going to do, all because of your saving grace. And we're to reckon ourselves dead and alive unto God in Christ Jesus, as you know. And keeping that in front of you, I guess, a little way to remind you that, because that's how we're going to put this together. and Colossians chapter 3. And what are you going to remind yourself that we have? If we can, in chapter 3, it's Colossians verse 1. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In other words, you have a heavenly relationship. You know from Ephesians 3:3, you have all the resources of heaven at your hand, at your command in Christ. So why are we looking? We aren't looking to earth and our limitations and our littleness. We're looking to God and his magnificent power and ability to be God. So we're looking to God to outwork my local, limited, little world I live in. I'm looking to God in the light of God's magnificence, to God to take my ups and downs, the easy, the hard, the much, the little. I'm looking to God to outwork his will. I'm not looking this way. I'm looking to God. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is risen. Because, verse 3, and set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for reason, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So God's wonderful, wonderful outworking in its most wonderful, wonderful way is to going to give you a wonderful, wonderful success. It's a wonderful success. And you're going to have to trust him with all your heart as you go down the corridor of time. And God is going to go and bless and encourage your heart, and because you're an overcomer. Now, and while you say that, over to 1 John for a moment. And fortunately, you have all these things that we're looking at between Sunday and now, and looking at that in your own study as we're looking. And we're reminded of all, so all of it keeps coming together. So it all comes, so it becomes pretty simple. I got it. And just, you got it. I understand. The pieces come together. Do you understand? I do. You do. I got it. Now, so, and you recall 1 Corinthians and chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 15, whoso confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So there's a wonderful, wonderful understanding that Jesus Christ, God, in his wonderful grace, makes himself known. And we did all these things. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's a unique relationship, God in us, us in God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing as we deal with the cups. God's in us, and we're in the middle of God. So here we are, God. Here we are, going down the corridor of time. And in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, which is because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so God, Christ in you, the light of the world, brings you God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring all of that power into focus, to have it act, have it to outwork itself in action in a most wonderful way. And God is going to do it. So what are we doing? We're learning to trust God. Over to Matthew and chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, and you remember, God is telling us and helping us understand. In chapter 17, picking up by May. And yeah, where are you? Chapter 17. And going, if I can, chapter 17 and verse 20. And remember, you have to have faith. Faith. That's what God said. I want you to believe and believe. And verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, remember now they had a problem with demon possession and they couldn't handle it. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, remember the mustard seed is one of the smallest of seeds, the smallest of like a carrot seeds or something, the smallest of seeds, small. Boy, you got it. If you just had that much faith, use the faith. Mountain, if you had faith, grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you in the will of God. Because what's faith doing? Faith is plugging in to God. That's what it does. Now, we did that with the electrical cord in the process, and we reminded you, if we can. It's coming. It isn't coming. It isn't. It's a bulb. What do you know if you had a light bulb, had a lamp, and you got the cord? And you have the cord. There's the plug. Now, and you make believe you're the light bulb. And here's the cord. In order to get the light lit, what do you have to do? You have to take the plug in your hand, and by faith, you simply do what? You plug it into the outlet. You don't make the power. The power is there. All you did is plug into it to get the power. When you come to the Lord as your Savior, you're going to trust him by faith. How did you stick the plug in the wall? You believed there was power in the outlet. And therefore, by faith, you plugged it in. That's why you did it. Because you believed. That's what you did. That's what how you did. Now, so having said that about that, and looking to God in his wonderful grace, God does what he does, and we have to go by faith. And God says, you have a little faith, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, and I have overcome the world. And so therefore, we're looking to God to go and do what he does in all that he does. And God goes and exercises his power to the measure that you need. So when we, by faith, plug into the outlet, we have enough power for the light bulb. If we put a toaster into the same light socket, we have enough power for the toaster. If we put an iron into the light bulb, we have enough power for the iron. The power's there. It just depends what you need it for. God is there to give you the power. That's what he's going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, to get sidetracked a little bit, go back over to Matthew chapter 13. And you'll remember in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 19. Hear the parable of the sower, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one, verse 19, chapter 13, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, which is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, God's going to help us with that. But in the process of that, thinking back to the plug, now, and, he receiveth the seed. Verse 19, the seed, the word of God, which is sown, the word of God, which is sown in the heart. Spirit of God is going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Romans chapter 1, he does it at square one when the child is born up to when the child departs, leaves him out. He's going to convict him, help them. If the child hangs in there, the child's going to hang in there and get it. And got it, no matter what. Family, if he's in the middle of the worst idolatry ever, he'll still survive. Now, having said that, I'm looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, and the Spirit of God's going to go and take the Word of God. Now, hang on to that seed, the Word of God. Go back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you'll notice, if I may I go to verse 1. 1:1. In the beginning, think of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Just Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what's the next two words? Was God. That's why 1 John we're looking at. You have to understand. You receive God as your Savior. That's how you get saved. Not Jesus and God somewhere else. No, that's how you get saved. The Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, God's wonderful, wonderful grace in his most wonderful way. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to go and believe the Word of God by faith. We walk by faith. We're going to believe God's Word. That's what we're going to do. And that's what God asked us to do. You may have only faith as a mustard seed. But if you use it right, you connect. And you may not understand, but you start with a little faith. But you do use it, a little faith in the process. And when you use a little faith and you use it properly, it can grow. Like in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, their faith was marvelous. The pressure was on. 2 Thessalonians, persecution. And their faith grew. It grew. So it wasn't a mustard seed anymore. They believed God and trusted God, and they could look to God. He was going to do what he's going to do in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and having said that, so just have faith in God. And you remember that very short little verse to memorize in the Gospel of Mark and in chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, if I may. And in the process, God's going to go and do what he does, and hit by faith. So what are you going to say? God, say it simply for us. Verse 22, Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, four little words, have faith in God. That's what I told you. A little faith, a little mustard seed, just a mustard seed. Now, in order to illustrate that maybe and get you to see it maybe in the process, because as you're reading, the Spirit of God is going to take the Word of God, which is the seed. The seed, the Word of God, he's going to take his Word. Why can he take his Word? Because he died on the cross to make that valid. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that all the words are genuinely full of light and power. They're all alive, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are full of life. Pregnant with life. Now, and I have I have, just to illustrate it, you have them, all kinds of things. Here's a little seed package. Little seed package right here. Got the seed package? These are seeds. And if I was real excited about what they are, I'd plant them. But here they are. And I got the seeds. Now, and I got them. I got them. Hang on now. As I do this, remember this. Here's your New Testament. But I'm going to illustrate this with the seeds. So, and so here we are, got the seeds, and I love the seeds. I like the picture, and I read about it. I read it. And I read all about it. I could even write about it. I could even study it, couldn't I? Wow. I could even gather a whole bunch of people to come to church and study it with me, couldn't I? Couldn't I do it? Sure. Oh, come. We got it. Wow. Wow. Do we have the product? The seeds are still what? Seeds. They need to find ground so that the little seed can send the root down and the root up to become the plant. But if I don't, what I just told you is the same thing people do with this. But you never have any seeds. You don't. When you're all done, you don't have anything. It requires the power of God and the life of God. And but we're content. Too many people are content with just having this package. And I love this package. Put it in my pocket. I carry it. I love my Bible. I carry it. See? But I don't have any seeds. Oh, I got a bunch of seeds. I got a bunch of words that are powerless. There's no life in those words. No. That's why Mahatma Gandhi, years ago, if I remember right, when he was in this country, he went back home to bring to India some help. And he said he found in America the book, the Bible. And he said, this is the greatest book. But he didn't believe. So it's a book full of words, but no plants. No plants. And it didn't go anywhere. Why not? Because there's no life to it. There's no life to it. It's just a bunch of words. And we preach it. I could preach it. Yay! But all you got seeds. That's all I got. That's all I got. I just have seeds like you do. Just a bunch of seeds. And God, you don't want seeds. That's the trouble. God is going to find four different types of grounds to tell you how to do it. He said, when you look at the world, I'm going to sum up for you in four ways. The seed, Satan, God casts the seed everywhere. God's word, Psalm 19, etc. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. And Romans chapter 1 tells us about God's wonderful, wonderful word. And the whole world knows it. And God puts it in their heart. God done himself. And God, oh, it's there. But, like good ground, hard ground. It's hard ground. Yeah. Because the world, the devil says what? The seed falls. And I'll do it a different way. I have to live my life, my job, my home, my work. I'm busy, 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 busy. Busy, busy, busy. I got it. I got up, but I don't put this to work because I'm busy. And the world around me is busy. The whole world around me is busy in a world system like we shared on Sunday. Remember the difference between the world and the world system? Big difference. Make sure you understand that. The world is one thing. Nothing wrong with the world. It's the world system. That's the problem. There's not sin in a tomato. And there's not sin in the lion that likes the lamb. That's not sin. Sin is us, not humans, the world system. So, and here's the world system. And the world system has no place for God. And so it's trampled underfoot. That's trampled. And you can do it over in Matthew chapter 7 maybe. In Matthew chapter 7, picking up, if I may, in verse 13. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's all kinds of ways to talk about God, to do everything. Religion has a thousand ways. The Christianity church has a thousand church. Different things are all called Christian. Christian, thousand, over a thousand. All Christian. Which one? And many there be that go in thereat. And they're all, that's what the world's doing. They're busy. And when you live in the world, and I live in the world, that's why God said on Sunday then, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't do it. Why? Because it'll kill you. Because you're going to get caught up in what the world does. And you don't have any time to make the seeds go to the ground. And you don't plant them. Or you don't have any faith. And there is a grain of mustard seed. And believe what you read. Believe it. Not say I believe it. No, believe it. Believing it. I am believing it. It's live. That's what makes seeds. Otherwise it won't make any seeds. Because without faith it's what? It's impossible to please me. And so have faith of the grain of mustard seed. Just do it. Because, and the first illustration, Matthew 13, in verse 19, and you remember chapter 13, verse 9, when anyone hears the word of God and understandeth it not. In other words, what did you say? I didn't get what you said. They said something. He said something. I didn't understand it. I heard it, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand. All I have is AM. I don't have FM. I need to be saved. So he that is carnal, fleshly, unsaved also, doesn't get it. So the understanding, I don't understand. I don't understand what he said. What did he say? What did he mean? See, because you don't understand. It's a wonderful, simple thing, but you've got to understand it. Now, so therefore, and when cometh the wicked one, the devil himself, he's going to come and just take it away. He take it away. Why? Like you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he takes it away. It's gone. They're busy. The world's busy. The world's busy. And catches away that which is sown in the heart. And we aren't talking about the ground. We're talking about the heart. We're talking about the Word of God. And we're looking to the Spirit of God to help us understand how it's going to go. So the Spirit of God does what he does in his most wonderful way to work it out. And saying it all kinds of thousand different ways. John 15:5. You want to bear much fruit? You can't bear much fruit if you don't abide, John 15:5. And if you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So you have to abide. The branch has to abide in the tree. That's all it does. Simple. That's all. The seed just has to go in the ground. It has to do. Where's the ground? In your heart. What kind of ground is it? Oh, it's trampled. My heart is so full of everything. I'm trying to figure out my life and my world and my work, my home, my health, my wealth. I'm trying to do it. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't have time. I don't have time to understand. I don't understand. So therefore, without me, you can do nothing. So remember now, we did the light bulb, the same thing. You plug in the light, as we just said, you plug in the light bulb, and the light bulb goes as long as you plug it in. And you did it by faith. And it's only going to, it's the power that's going to come. And it depends a toaster, an iron, a light bulb, and your little old heart and mind. We're looking to God to help us through the day, through the pain, through the heartache, through the headache, through whatever it is. We're looking to him, inch by inch. And we're looking for God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible. Faith makes the connection. The plug in the wall makes the connection. The throw of the light switch, and the light comes on. Turn it off and on, off and on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind in God's wonderful grace, in his wonderful, wonderful way, trying to help you understand, God said, listen, that's what the trouble is. The seed is going to fall all over, everywhere. They all know about God. How do you know they know about God? All the idolatry. All the idolatry. That's why people have funerals, because they believe something. They believe something. Funerals, people die. They're all conscious. Yeah, we don't want to put the pieces together. We don't want to think about it. There it is. So God, here we have all of that, and you know what you want us to understand. You want us to be a vessel, not of doubting, not to be doubting, but to letting you be God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And the Spirit of God is going to go and bring about what? An awesome fellowship. That's what he wants you to have. A simple, wonderful fellowship. Yes, that's what he wants. I want you to believe, even if it's only a little bit. If you really believe, there must be something in the Bible that you really believe, that you really do. I don't know what it is. You could have this and not believe anything. You'll say, I believe the whole Bible, but you don't have a belief that's powering you because it possesses you. It isn't I possess the believing. The belief possesses, the truth has to possess me for me to possess the truth. That makes sense? If the truth doesn't possess me, then I don't possess it. And that's what God's trying to get across. If you just do anything, that'll help you start on your way to start and really start claiming. Start claiming. Thank God that he's God. And trust him. And whatever problem you got, you must have something to trust him with. There must be something in your life that you want to trust God with. Now do it. And exercise it, see, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And anyway, I trust you're getting a little bit. And we walk by faith and not by sight. It isn't hard. It's not a trick. No more than that electrical outlet. It's a trick. It's a simple, wonderful truth. You plug the plug because it's designed to have the light, and you plug it in. That's what you do. God said, I want you to plug into me. I want you to go and believe. Have faith in God. Just let me, God said, inspire you. Let me cause you to be inspired, to be motivated, to be moved. Let me do it. And you're going to trust me. So all the little things in our life, we start trusting him. And we start finding God's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, in a time of blessing. God's there. And as we do that, that little seed becomes a big seed. And every little truth you learn, just like this plant, will shed its seeds. If this truth grabs me, if I get one truth to grab me, it'll blossom and shed a movement for me to believe elsewhere. And the seed multiplies, and I'm encouraged to be trusting God more. And the more I trust him, the easier it is. The easier it is. Do you understand it all? Do you understand how this little seed becomes this, what it does? Do you understand that? You think about it. One of those crummy little seeds. Little seed. Gonna become this big plant. It's only a little seed. But put it in the right place. And boy, it does a number, doesn't it? It blossoms for you. Yeah. Keep God in the right place in your heart. And believe him. And watch what happens.